Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 457, Happy New Halo, recorded live on January 8th, 2015. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are here for the first podcast of the new year. We are into 2015, and it is going to be a big year for Podtacular. It's going to be another big year for Halo, as we have Halo 5 coming down the pipeline. So lots of stuff going on, but we also have our other staff members on for this week's episode to kind of go over some of the holiday musings that we had and talk about the future of Podtacular and what's been going on in the Halo universe. And of course, that it would be Hot Sauced, our community manager, and Godzilla Todd, our events coordinator. Welcome, guys.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yes, it's going to be a good year.
Always a pleasure.
Always is. It's going to be one of those good years. I think this is the first time that we've had staff like this in, I think, 4 years.
Word.
Yeah, I think, well, didn't we have a conversation a while back? I'm trying to think. No, that was just, they've been on separate times. I don't think we've had a full cast on.
Well, I'm just talking about like actually staffed for Podtacular. I think the last time we had this much in terms of staff was before I took over the podcast. So we're making moves in the right direction. We are looking for some pretty big things happening in the Podtacular realm for this year. And we have some exciting news to share with you guys later down the pipeline for this year. Got some big plans for some things going on, some pretty big changes for Podtacular coming down the line. Pretty big changes, hopefully, for Halo and how we kind of integrate in with the bigger Halo community. But we'll get into that a little bit later in the podcast, probably within the next month or so. But we kind of want to catch up with everything that's gone on with the Halo 5 beta, all the updates that have gone on with the Master Chief Collection, and just kind of catch up on what we missed during the holiday season, because we have been off the air for 3 weeks. Did you guys miss us?
I missed me.
You always missed you, huh?
Yeah, I missed me.
Oh. Well, I don't think I can help with that, unfortunately.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe someone else has the magic cure for that, but I do not. But as far as what we're going to be doing for this episode, if you guys remember, last time we were going to go through some submissions that we had for a while, so we're actually going to get to those this time around. And we are going to be giving our kind of first impressions of the Halo 5 beta. We have some write-ups that we have that I haven't posted yet because I've been busy with stuff, as I usually am. But that we will have a week one review from the staff up either Friday or Saturday, talking about all of our first impressions for week one. And we'll do the same thing for week two and again for week three. And we're really looking to give some good, valuable, critical feedback to 343. And we hope that you guys do the same. And with that said, let's go ahead and dive into some initial discussions. First of all, I believe since we did the podcast last, Godzilla, you've had your chance to finally get your hands on with the Halo 5 beta. So what do you think of it so far?
Oh, I absolutely love it. And don't get me wrong, it has some issues, but it's stuff that could be easily fixed. I like the pace of the gameplay. The maps are... they're awesome. I love the layout of the maps. You got good sight lines for the snipers. When you get the sword in your hand, there's enough corners that you can navigate around where you can surprise people. The BR and the DMR. Oh, I don't think I've ever done this good with these two guns.
Really?
Now, don't get me wrong. I haven't been going 19-0 like someone else on this podcast, but I've been consistently going, I've been breaking even or just going positive, whenever I can get a decent group of people together, in the game, where I can, where we actually win the match. The Hydra.
Yeah, that's a new weapon.
Yeah, I didn't really like it at first because I didn't understand how to use it. But now that I figured out how to use it, it's a force to be reckoned with. It's something that you definitely have to keep in the back of your mind if it's on the map, because you've got to be ready to move if the other team has it. But all in all, I'm really enjoying the beta. I can't wait to see what they put out for next week.
And that's going to be the last week, too. So for those that aren't quite aware, we're recording this on a Thursday, the Thursday before week three starts. And week three is starting tomorrow. And we have the option of voting for two Forge maps. And then we're going to have the return of Truth and Empire. So I guess for those listening to us live, if you're listening to us live, it's over on twitch.tv/podtacular. We have one more day to play on Eden and Truth. Or sorry, Regret. So those are going to be, I think, something that I'm going to try to play tonight, get the last bit in. And I think we're still going to have Breakout for next week. Am I incorrect in thinking that?
I don't know.
I honestly haven't seen a breakdown for week three yet.
I know we're getting a Forge map.
Yeah.
That we are.
Yeah, which actually looks pretty decent as a Forge map. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff that we've community creations before, but I'm really interested to see what we get with these Forge maps. You know, what's kind of something new that they brought to us.
I know there's definitely some interesting shapes in the two maps that they've shown. Stuff that we have not seen in Forge before.
Yeah.
And a lot of the pieces are geared to be aesthetic pieces.
And some of the stuff that I've seen on Twitter as a response from the Forgers, like the big Forgers, Duquesne and Pete the Duck and some other people, they're actually really liking just what they saw from the little video fly-throughs that we have on the bulletin. Some of the new stuff that they've had in there, the cleanness of a lot of the pieces that are in there that are brand new, the numbers was something that I think Duquesne pointed out or someone else did. So the Forgers are already starting to get interested, even though we're not going to have access to the Forge system itself. Just to see some of the new stuff that's going to be in the Halo 5 Forge is actually pretty interesting to those kinds of people. And that's really awesome to see this early on in development, that not just the competitive multiplayer, which we're really focusing on right now, which is the arena multiplayer, but the Forgers are actually going to get a little bit of taste with what they can expect with the beta, which is awesome.
Yeah, I saw those numbers on the structures, and I'm like, oh, the Forgers are going to go nuts with those over being able to actually label stuff.
Yeah. Right, that's a huge thing that's been something of an issue, just identifying certain pieces. And Halo 4 actually did a really good job with the Forge template and being able to color a lot of those different pieces. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do, because the number things is interesting. And I wonder if they're going to do that with letters as well. So you have, I believe it was Pegasus had the 1-2-3?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Orion?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Pegasus.
I think it was Pegasus. Another thing someone pointed out that I didn't even see, but there was a sign, like a forgeable sign somewhere. I didn't see it, but apparently it was popping up on Twitter left and right.
Like so a Minecraft style sign?
I don't know. Like people were just saying that there's a forgeable sign. I didn't actually see a picture of it. I was trying to find it, like going through the film that they had on the Halo or whatever, but I didn't see one. But apparently there was one, because Duquesne even said there was one too. So I guess that's something now.
I would have to go.
Definitely missed that.
I'd have to go through the bulletin again and probably do a frame by frame analysis to try to figure out where that is. That's interesting though, if they're able to implement that into it, because there's always been that issue of being able to censor stuff. And you just look at Minecraft, which has a good example of it. You try to put something in one of those signs that you can write whatever in, and it just comes up with blanking it out. Do you remember what kind of sign it was? Is it just something that you can enter text into, or?
I think it's just like a forgeable sign, like do not pass or something. I don't like a stop sign or something. Oh, I don't think
so
it was
not okay. So not something that you can
like a preformed sign.
Got it.
Yeah,
I was thinking that you meant actual signs that you could put customized text or something on. I'm like, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sick.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I can see a lot of maps getting kicked out because of the signs.
Yeah. Yes, we could. It'd be interesting to see what they would do, because there's lots of different signs that we've seen in the Halo universe, and we've seen with Halo 4 how they're kind of trying to add a little more aesthetic stuff in there, and then but the Halo 2 Forge palette, we just got a whole lot with that.
Yeah.
To see them expand on that with something as simple as signs, just from a visually aesthetic side of view, and that also plays really big into machinima. That would be a huge
definitely.
Asset.
Yeah, I think another thing, I think it really kind of started off with the trees and the green screens in Halo 4 is when you can start doing stuff with that. There was a couple of videos I seen a lot of stuff take advantage of the green screen. You know, like Forge has made like little pictures that they could put and then go into After Effects and just put like a picture or something on there.
Right.
Which was really, really cool. Especially you could, there's a lot of artistic people out there that could do a lot of different things. And it's going to be interesting to see what they actually throw in with Halo 5's Forge, especially as well as these maps are looking, you know, from those.
And they're very clean. The textures yeah. on the shapes is very neat. I do like the... I would like to have both kind of palettes, though, where you have this, the style of stuff that we see in the Halo 2 Anniversary Forges, where it's actually texturized and all that stuff. But having the clean stuff is something where I think these kinds of competitive arena style maps would really thrive off of, and have certain game types that Forgers could really expand upon to use those kind of things. So I think both of those styles really need to be in a Forge system, whatever Halo 5 comes out with.
I would love three different palettes, a Human, a Covenant, and a Forerunner. I think that'd be awesome to see what the Forge community could do that. I don't know if it's something challenging with the Covenant stuff or the angles, but I just think that'd be awesome.
Well, we had Forerunner stuff in Halo Reach and 3.
That's not a problem. Because those are all straight edges. But the Covenant is kind of known for their sleek curves, so I don't know if it's a geometry issue that would be a problem or what, but that's like the one thing I feel like Forge has really been missing, outside of, you know, a few added little things here and there, but that's the palette I would like to see added.
Right.
I think that would be more of an aesthetic palette than really a functional palette when it comes to forging from a competitive style. Because if you think about a lot of the maps that have been designed for the competitive nature, you're looking at a lot of cut angles and very symmetrically defined areas that really fosters the balance of play between two sides. And for a lot of the Covenant stuff, I think it would be hard to include a palette that would be able to have a lot of diversity than what you can do with the straight cut edges. I mean, not to like say it wouldn't be cool to see something like that. I think it's just a lot harder to do a Covenant palette than I think a lot of people think.
Probably. I'm sure it's harder, but I'm sure somewhere along the lines we'll probably get something like that in the future. Hopefully something within Halo 5, especially as they're getting more advanced with the stuff they do. I mean, we got a lot of stuff in Halo 2 Anniversary that I didn't think we would ever see, like in Forge. Like, it opened up a big window of things that we can do now, like the shootable doors that can open up and just different things like that. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of different things. Hopefully something a lot of people or a lot of fans were asking for, something that we didn't see in Halo 2 Anniversary.
Well, I think another thing, too, for me, that I would like to see in Forge is weather.
Yeah.
The night and day and the weather, I think, would be pretty cool.
ODST rain. Well, don't you think we're going to get the night and day with these remix maps? I kind of feel like this is like a indirect hint at what we might be seeing in tools that we can have.
Well, I mean, we've seen weathering in the remix map on Eden. We had the lightning and the rain or whatever that's going on in the background of that, which is pretty cool.
But that's there for every time you play that map.
It's true.
I'm talking about something that you can dynamically change the weather from iteration to, or from game to game on a certain map.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about, but I'm just saying that we do it, like he's saying that we're seeing the night and day with different, like with the remix map. It is a possibility because we do have some sort of weather effects going on the remix map that we didn't see on the regular map. I mean, that could be just something that they put on there that will probably ever, you know, like you said, it's never going to change. But it'd be pretty cool to see if we did get a weather effect, like maybe snow or
bring back the ice from Halo 1.
Someone's been playing a little MCC.
Oh, I love CE. Oh, Sidewinder, come on, guys. Oh,
it's a classic.
Yeah, I don't think we'll actually see like weather effects in Forge for maps, but it sounds like they might be doing something with a, you know, an adjustable lighting to where, you know, you can make it either, you know, bright sunlight or, you know, dark, you know, nighttime, something like that. So, I mean, you know, with the lighting effect, you might be able to simulate, you know, rain or something like that. Because like in, you know, in ODST, the campaign, like you were saying, it was never actually raining. they just did the lighting effects to make you think it was raining.
It was raining. We even talked about this at one point, and I went in, and it was legitimately raining.
I need to see this.
Yeah,
I guess I know it. I know on your visor, the rain would smack around, but right. I never really like looked at the ground to see if rain was falling into puddles or anything like that. But
I am pretty sure I remember it raining.
Well, I mean, I was watching one of the vidocs that they did on it, and they wanted to make it rain. But they didn't have enough resources to actually do the rain, so they brought in the feeling of the rain, you know, with the music that's playing, the different lighting effects, you know, kind of making it hazy, you know, to where it looks like you're looking through rain.
I guess I could be wrong. I was pretty sure it was raining, though.
It's been a while since I actually played the campaign, but I remember that from the vidoc that they wanted the... You know, they wanted the, you know, the dark, dank, rainy, you know, nighttime in the city, you know, in the city, but they were unable to actually, you know, animate the rain. So they did it. They said they did it with different lighting effects.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe I was tricked.
It could be because the first time I played it, I swore it was raining myself.
I thought it was
because, you know, because I watched the vidoc and then I play the game and it's like, are you sure this is all effects? Because it looks like it's raining to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, like I was saying, you know, with the new lighting engine that it looks like they're going to be introducing into Halo 5 Forge, you know, maybe you can do that. You know, maybe you can, you know, get that same feeling to have, you know, a rainy map, not with it physically raining, but just the look of it. You know, as far as palettes you guys are talking about, I'd like to see, you know, different palettes as far as different terrain types, you know, sand, snow, grass, pavement, stuff like that.
So kind of expand on what they did with the Halo 2 Anniversary, like floor pieces.
Right.
That'd be kind of cool.
But, you know, like even on the building pieces, you know, the corners you see. You see snow coming over the corner like, you know, it'd been snowing. You know, the tops of the buildings could be covered with snow, which is probably too detailed. But, you know, at least, you know, get the ground cover to where it looks like it snowed. You know, there's already guys out there that make, you know, take shield doors and make it look like ice or, you know, running water. So it's right. going to be interesting to see what they do with Forge.
What if you could adjust the position of the lighting source?
That'd be interesting.
That would be so cool. Like, have it kind of like a dusk. So you're not, like, having to use these filters that you do in all these other Halo games, what we've been off so far. So you can move the sun, like, behind a building, and you're getting the glow off the building. So you kind of have this orange hue over the whole map. Like, Halo's known for its environments and looking gorgeous. I just feel like this would take it to the next step, being able to have that kind of control over your maps, and it could make your map stand out too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, going back a little bit, when we're going to talk with Breakout, we have that same map that's floating in space. Like, it's that same arena that you're in, but it's just a different map. It's just making I don't know if they said it or not, but do you think that's a forge? That could be forged? Something like that.
I would be surprised if it's not.
Because
I mean, it's probably one of the most perfect forge palettes out there.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, it just the way it is, it looks like it, like the little triangles for the bunkers and different things like that. It looks like it's something you could honestly forge. Like, it looks like that.
Could be. I'm surprised how we got so much on a forge tangent. Just talking about the two maps for next week.
And we're not
week.
Even forgers. That's the best part.
Yeah.
I've dabbled in forge.
Okay, Bubble Bather.
Hey, it's a legitimate game type.
Too bad it didn't work in Halo 2A.
Yeah, they put the kill boundary way too far into the water. It sucks.
Well, that map we were running that race on, I went too far out in the water and almost, you know, I hit the kill timer.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, I was like a mongoose's width in the water. And I'm like, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wish they'd pushed that boundary back.
Yeah, they really should have. But alas, we still have Halo 2 original and Halo 3 to do it on. So,
mm-hmm.
It is what it is. We didn't get to play, or did you find people to play with last night, or did not get a chance to do it?
We did not run that game.
Okay.
Because I honestly forgot about it. Well, right. The lobby was kind of varying in sizes and stuff, so when I thought about it, I didn't really have enough people to run a game like that, but
yeah,
I'm sure we will next week, because it's growing.
Good.
I just wish they would get the file servers up.
Yeah, the file servers needs to be.
And more than that, they just need to get the game to frickin' work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm happy to wait on the file share servers for them to fix the game, but I really wish they'd get those up and running here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Especially all the glitches I've seen just playing what you dusted in the campaign.
Oh my gosh. That's
completely different. Like,
So here's a story for everyone to listen to. And apparently some people already know about this bug, but for campaign, there's a possibility where whenever you're doing Halo 2 co-op, your position data can get out of sync and not translate, but all your movement actions can still translate. So there was where we were playing Quarantine Zone. Yeah. And no, wait, it was, yeah. Okay. It was
Quarantine Zone, okay. Because there's the,
oh yeah. So we got into a game the first time around, and it was very early on where we got to a point where it was the very first room after clearing the first area, after the first big sentinel. And
yeah, it was with the...
We would be running each other over in ghosts that we didn't even know we were running each other over with, and one person's game would reset to the last checkpoint, another person's game would still be going, and that got bad.
Mess.
Yeah, and it got to the point where we said, let's restart this, try to figure this out, and then we went on for a good while, maybe 20 minutes or so, and then we got position desynced, and it's the big area where you have the spiral around where you have the three big sentinels come up. So he got stuck there, and I kept going on the tank. And on his perspective, I was driving up a wall in the tank and pinching him into the wall, and I was still going on shooting at wraiths and other sentinels, and I made it about halfway through the level. And at that point, on my screen, I yanked him forward, but he was still back near the very beginning of the level. And when he would move, sometimes he would jerk me back to the previous loading zone, so I would have to go back to where I was going to, and it just got all out of whack.
The thing is, though, is it only 2 Anniversary that had that problem, or was it like Halo 1 that...
I never saw the problem with Halo 1.
Yeah, we never had that issue when we were running the Halo 1 campaign.
Well, we've never had an issue really connecting to each other. Beowulf and I, oh boy, that's been an episode.
You know, he's got that, you know, high speed connection there, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, we can connect to other games. Like, we've figured that out, like, before we even started getting... It's just Halo. Like, it's just Halo that I have a problem with. I don't know why.
And the funny thing is that whenever Bio and I can connect to someone else and we can play together just fine, but whenever we try to connect to each other, that's when we run into a bunch of issues.
Yeah.
Well, so you got that third person that acts as the sync plate.
Basically as a neutral host.
Everybody in sync, yeah.
For the most part. But you can't do that with Halo 2 because it's only 2 players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. But there's something that I think... Have you even checked making your Xbox a static IP? Have you tried that yet?
Not yet, no. I haven't done any of that yet. I'm just waiting on you. I'm just waiting on... I need help. I don't know how to do that crap.
Okay,
so
I can help you with that. So there's been that, and I actually managed to finish Halo 2 Anniversary with Haas 2 days ago on Legendary, co-op Legendary.
Rockin'!
Yeah. You know, it's going to be such a pain as running that in under 3 hours on Legendary. I don't know how that's going to be done. Halo 3 is fine. Halo 4, fine. It's 4 people. You can breeze through Legendary campaign. Easy. Halo CE, I know enough tricks where I could probably squeeze it in with the people, with the right people. Halo 2? Hell no.
Get Naked Eli in there. I'm sure he can help you with that.
Yeah, I'll just get Naked Eli.
Fight at the start.
Teach you.
Yeah, no, I have to go watch his videos. I have to go study them. They'll probably be something that I won't really attempt until later in the summer. But there's some parts that you would almost want to do only solo because of having to load certain zones in a certain way and because certain glitches only work for a single player versus co-op, like we found out on the last level Great Journey a couple days ago when we tried to do a despawn glitch. First despawn glitch worked, but the second despawn glitch didn't work. Or maybe we didn't do it right. But
the one at the scarab?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. The
yes.
one yeah. where we clear out all the banshees and the wraiths on the way to the index chamber. Not the way to the... or away from it.
Johnson's driving the scarab right. to the chamber. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't get that despawn to work. But we did get all the... or I guess through playing with... between Pio and Haas at some point, did manage to get all the skulls, all the toys, all the terminals. I still haven't watched any of the terminals, so I actually need to go and do that at some point.
Yeah, the terminals are really good in Halo 2.
You got I Would Have Been Your Daddy?
Oh, no, I haven't gotten that one yet. That's right.
I got that one.
I've tried that one about a dozen times, and I cannot get that thing to spawn.
There's a lot of different things.
Yeah, you have to get the checkpoint. You have to get the checkpoint order right, which can be a little tricky.
Yeah, I know. I followed, Green Skull put up a video on it, and he got it to spawn. I followed that video to the letter, and that sucker still has not spawned.
The thing is that you have to make sure you hit all the checkpoints he does, because you can still be following the same path, but depending on how the enemies are or what the game...
Well, It also only works 1/7 of the time, too.
Is that a firm statistic?
It does not work every time you do it.
Okay.
Because, Green Skull even in his video admitted that he'd done it several times and did not get it to spawn.
I think that's because you have to hit certain checkpoints. And if you don't hit certain checkpoints, then it doesn't. Because every time you go through a mission, you'll get different checkpoints, depending on where you're at, where enemies are at, what... the game thinks is going on and where is a safe checkpoint. So it's not a consistent checkpoint system. So you just have to kind of play with it.
The path that he takes, the checkpoints are pretty stable. There's only one of them that's kind of iffy.
Right.
But every time you take that path, you'll get those checkpoints in those exact same spots, provided you move just like he does. It's just, like I said, it's a random, it's the same way in the original Halo 2. It didn't spawn every time you got the checkpoints. Even if you got the checkpoints right, it didn't spawn every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes that the most difficult skull to get.
Well, that, and then you have the 7 Spec Ops Elites? Or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just getting it to activate. It is tough. And then, of course, you got the 7 waves of Spec Ops that you have to kill.
Yeah.
Which in Halo 2A is easy if you got the Scarab Gun.
That is true.
Just shoot walls. Just make sure you don't shoot the one next to you.
So I thought they said that the 0 multiplier skulls don't or disable achievements. I guess that's not true.
They disable certain achievements, but finding skulls is, you go find the skull. It doesn't really matter. Your score, the score, beat par score achievements, those are disabled.
Okay.
Stuff that relies on you killing stuff to get the achievement are disabled.
That makes sense. Okay. Because when I heard, or I guess I just misread it in a way whenever they posted about it before the game came out, saying that it disables achievements whenever you activate one of the 0 multiplier skulls. So I'm like, that kind of sucks, but okay. But to know that it's only based off of certain
0 multiplier skull. Multiplier
skulls. Fire. Yeah. Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah. I couldn't say it once because I ran library with bandana on to run it under the 30 minute mark to get the achievement. And I got the achievement running the bandana skull.
It's weird, though, because certain achievements that I've gotten, I've gotten achievements that I haven't even unlocked. Like I haven't done something to unlock. And then I've done things. Like, I've found all three monkeys and all that stuff, and then certain achievements will pop too. So it's, to me, some of the achievements are kind of bugged. Like, so it wouldn't surprise me if you did do some of that stuff with the skulls on, it would still do it.
For me, let's see, I ran a Pillar of Rodom 5 times before it actually registered that I completed the level.
Oh gosh.
The achievement set at 99% complete for 3 weeks. And then they released the patch, and then it finally got it clear.
Yeah.
But
I started 2 betrayals last night and I got the library achievement. I didn't even play the library yesterday.
Awesome. And funny thing for me is that I played one of the cross game campaign playlists, and one of them included the last level in Halo 3. And when I finished that level, it said it gave me completed the Halo 3 campaign achievement. And I still have several levels on the Halo 3 campaign I have not played yet.
Hey, maybe I'll try that and see if I can get it now.
Yeah, that was interesting. So yeah, I mean, there's still bugs everywhere in the Master Chief Collection, and it seems like they've slowed down a bit with the updates because of the Halo 5 beta going on right now. Or is that just me? Because that doesn't seem like we've gotten too many content updates. They've
slowed down a little bit because I haven't seen an update in 2 weeks on Master Chief Collection.
Yeah,
they said they have one in certification right now.
Right, so we'll probably get one next week. And we also got an update today where we have 500 new achievement points for the Spartan Ops achievements.
Because not only was 4,000 not enough, 4,500 wasn't enough. Now we need to be 5,000. I think by the end of this, we might be looking at a 6,000 point game.
Yeah, with ODST coming. Yep.
Yeah, with ODST. Yep. And
another multiplayer map. You know, there's going to be some Easter egg thing on there.
I don't think it's going to...
Well, with ODST, they wouldn't quite do 1,000. It would be another 500 for ODST.
Yep. It wouldn't surprise me if they did.
The original game included firefight achievements.
Yeah,
so.
Which I've been... Whenever I went to one of the GameStops, I don't think this was the Destiny GameStop guy.
Oh, come on.
I gave him my card. But I think, and I know I'm talking with a few other people about this too, but Firefight was probably one of the great multiplayer experiences that would be nice to have with the Master Chief Collection now that we're getting ODST, because it would be able to use the dedicated server system for matchmaking. And I think that would be perfect to actually have a Firefight match that is actually a good Firefight match on ODST, because everyone remembers how awfully laggy those were.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. Especially with my internet. That made it like twice as worse.
I remember trying to play Firefight Reach with you, Bio, and that was horrible.
I just tried to launch Master Chief Collection and it failed. That was horrible.
Don't get me wrong. I would love to see ODST Firefight come out with the ODST campaign, but I just really don't want them putting anything more on their plate.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, with...
You know, if the ODST thing was coming out after Halo 5 and not mid-year, like a lot of people are theorizing, you know, I'd say go for it. But, man, I really want them to concentrate on getting the Master Chief Collection fixed and getting Halo 5 done and stable. So we can, when we get the game, we can fire it up, we can blow through the campaign, get all the achievements, get into multiplayer matches without having 20-minute wait times, you know, be able to bring a party into the multiplayer and stick with it. You know, I really want them to, they really need to nail Halo 5.
Yeah, I mean,
I want them to do that.
It's not just 343 that you really need to nail a couple things. I mean, on Xbox side, you have to sit there and do a couple things too. I mean, the party system is just broken. Like, it really is. Like, you could be in me and Haas are perfect example. We were talking, you know, fine. You know, we're connected to each other. We were talking, and the thing just crashes, like, for no reason. Like, the party chat system is broke. Now, I don't, like, just the only way to exit some multiplayer sessions is to go into the party and then leave multiplayer. Like, it's just, I don't know. There's a couple things that really need to be done on both sides to actually make this, just the multiplayer and everything with Halo 5, just perfect.
Yeah, well, Tuesday night in the Halo 5 beta, you know, the in-game chat, it's having problems. You know, like I was trying to pins Halo. I don't know what it is, but when we're in the in-game chat, can't hear him. Going to party chat works fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the same thing with Master Chief Collection.
And then, you know, so I get everybody in a party and then just random people, they don't leave the party. They just drop out of the party.
Yeah.
Know? One guy was, he was gone from the party for 5 minutes before I even realized he wasn't talking, you know, because we were in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
You know, and I realized, hey, wait a minute. I haven't heard from him in a little while. What's going on? So open the party and sure enough, his mic icon's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like just next generation in general is just seeming to have a lot of bugs. And I mean, 2014, you know, we had a lot of fixes with Xbox One, you know, compared to day one, what we had, you know, it's definitely helped, but it's, we have a lot of different things that they need to make sure that they fix for this year, especially with a new title, like a AAA title coming out, like Halo 5 Guardians. Like they need, because as of right now, people are not exactly satisfied. Like, I know a couple of people that went back to 360 because they can talk and party chat on that and connect with people better on that than they can with Xbox One.
Yep.
And it's sad, but it's they really need to step it up.
Well, as far as something that is as well, let me step back for a second. It's really interesting to see how much more stable Halo 5 is from a party perspective than the Master Chief Collection. The fact that you could get into a game and get match made a whole lot easier and quicker than the Master Chief Collection kind of throws some questions in mind.
The thing that I was going to say was it's just weird because you can have like a good day on Master Chief Collection because I can get into games constantly, like every 30 seconds or so I'll pop into a game, and then I could sit there and be waiting in a lobby in Halo 5 because one individual left, and then everybody starts leaving because of like after 5 or 6 minutes or so, it doesn't load anybody else in, and then you have to completely quit out the app or go into the party and then leave the multiplayer or something like that. So I mean, it's kind of, it goes both ways. Like it can just, it's just random, it seems.
All I know is they need to get it fixed.
Yeah, pretty much. With all the issues with the Master Chief Collection, though, a lot of people are not very optimistic about the party system whenever Halo 5 comes out.
Well, I mean, people need to keep in mind, too, what they're experiencing with Halo 5 now. It's just a beta. This isn't final.
Right.
This isn't final by any means. It even says right before you sit there and start it up, this is pre-release software.
Yeah, but you still know people are going to take that for, like, this is what the game is going to be like and all that stuff.
Yeah. And it's, people need to realize what the term beta actually means nowadays. It's just,
well, nowadays, game manufacturers or game developers use it as a tease. You know, they'll put out a beta, you know, a month before the game releases just to, you know, whet your appetite.
Yeah, Battlefield 4 is a prime pre-orders. Example.
Yeah, you know, it's not something to actually do anything to help develop the game. It's just a tease.
Yeah.
You know, to get you pumped about the game.
I mean, that's not, you know,
go ahead, Bio.
No, I was just going to say, that's definitely not the case here in Halo 5. I mean, to get some, like I've been saying it ever since I've been playing. I mean, I've generally enjoyed Halo 5 more than I've enjoyed a lot of, like a game in a long time, multiplayer wise. I mean, I've had a lot of fun with friends, especially with Breakout. Breakout is just
Breakout. Like, I call so much fun.
It's SWAT on like crack. It seems like it's so fun. Like it really is. It's a team based game. I mean, granted, you'll get into a couple games where you don't have people don't have mics or whatever. But people that use, you know, like your friends or whatever, and you go in there and you use communication with it, it could be really, really challenging. Like especially on both sides, especially with a team that knows what they're doing, but for a game to be this good and this solid this early on, I honestly think it's safe to say that things multiplayer-wise are kind of looking up. Especially, like, if this is, I mean, this is, you're going to have hiccups with any beta or anything like that. But if it's this good and you're connecting to games this, like, fast, like, I can say because I have connected to games fast, the multiplayer for Halo 5 is looking really good. I really think so.
I think it is.
I think we're off to a great start. I think everybody knows there's things that has to be changed, and what those things are is probably going to vary person by person. But
oh, absolutely,
the foundation of gameplay is so solid. Like the movement, sprint or no sprint, the movement is awesome. That thruster pack, just the thrust, not the floating thing. I hate that, but. just a thruster alone adds so much. It being able to get that advantage on your opponent is so much fun.
Yeah.
Because you always have to be anticipating it can come, but you don't want to over anticipate because then you're going to lose if it was an equal gunfight, skill fight. But just the thruster and the clamber, just giving that extra route to get into a room and flank, say if you're pushing a normal route, a normal Halo route, because there's a ramp into a room, you can hop in through a window if your opponent doesn't know you're there, and you'll just sneak right up behind them because they're focused on the people coming through the ramp, because those natural instincts from shooters is to look at the people in the ramp, not look at this guy who's going to be jumping and climbing through the window like he's Sam Fisher.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they implemented in this game that, you know, it's really amped up the pace. And I know a lot of people aren't liking the fact the sprint, and a lot of people don't like the Spartan abilities. But I think they really, the balancing of it is extremely, extremely good. Like, I like the fact that everybody's able to sit there and ground pound and thrust and clamber and all these different things. Like, you don't have one individual, like on Halo 4, that has just different things. And it can really break up the gameplay. But it's... with this, I really enjoy it. And the thing that I really enjoyed the most, too, is just the clamber. Like, I can't tell you the amount of mistakes I've made trying to jump over something by thrusting. And then that you can sit there and, you know, help yourself out by jumping back up with that clamber. They've done an extremely well job with it, a good job with it. A lot of people don't like it. I mean, but you got to take in consideration of this. Things are going to change with the new next generation of a franchise. And we've seen the change with it with Halo Reach. You know, when people seen that with Halo 4, they're like, oh, great. But with this, I think they really brought back the arena shooter of things. Like, I really do.
Okay. Driving home today, I was thinking, I'm really not trying to beat a dead horse, thinking of a way that Sprint, their current design around Sprint, could be better. And what if there was a bleed out? If you don't stop sprinting. So, you know, everybody's like, oh, you sprint, you run away from a battle, and you can run away and hide in a corner and let your shields recharge. Well, with this non-regen thing while you're sprinting, say you keep sprinting because you keep getting, you know, hit by a couple bullets. What if you bleed out and die because you're sprinting too long without letting your shields regen? I'm sure they would have to find some lore way around that.
I don't think that's the right mechanic to implement for something like that, personally.
Even if that was the case, so I don't feel that we need to have anything else to sit there and balance out the sprint. I really don't. I don't think you're going to sit there and run away. I can't tell you the amount of times. It was mostly on Truth I ran into this, but you could sit there and run away from it or thrust away and then, you know, dash and run from whatever it was, from a grenade or the sword, something like that. But you're always going to sit there and run to a teammate. Like, I've done it. Apparently, a lot of people haven't. I don't understand how they haven't, but I think them making it to where your shields don't regen, I think that's perfect. I don't think they need to do anything. Maybe a little bit of adjustments to how long the shield lasts or just how long the thing is or something. I don't know. But to me, I think they balance it out extremely well.
Go ahead, Godzilla.
One other thing they did with the sprinting thing is, yeah, your shields don't regen while you're sprinting, but even after you're sprinting, the time it takes from when you stop sprinting to your time where your shields actually start to regen is longer.
Yeah.
There is about, I don't know, a 1 or 2 second extra delay for the shield to start recharging after you're sprinting. If your shields are depleted. Than if you were, you know, if your shields just got depleted and you ducked into cover.
Well, and I've noticed that you're, I mean, I think it depends on
basically it. your shields are gone. You sprint away. You know, you sprint around a corner. You run away. once you stop sprinting, the time between where you stop sprinting and your shields actually start to recover is longer.
I've noticed that.
I think that's probably just because of the timer for the cooldown just starts a little bit later after you seemingly stop sprinting.
Yeah, well, the deal is if you just duck into cover, you know, your shields are depleted and you duck into cover, your shields will recover faster if you don't sprint.
Hmm.
You know, like if you hit your thruster and go around a corner. Well, I've noticed that because I've been running away from a fight, get around a corner, and I'm sitting there waiting for my shields to regen, and it's like, come on, anytime now.
Yeah, no, I know exactly.
If I just duck around a corner, whether I just walk around the corner or I thruster pack around the corner, as soon as I'm not taking damage, it's like a second later that the shields are recharging. You know, if you watch the little bar. You know, the little timer bar at the top of your shield bar. It starts moving faster if you have not been sprinting. Huh, so there is an extra little bit of price to pay for sprinting away from a fight. Yeah, you don't have any shields while you're sprinting, but you still don't have shields for just that little bit longer after you stop. So
I still think the best way to come to an agreement or a middle ground on this sprint topic argument, whatever side of the fence you're on, is have it be something you can turn on or off in a game type you create. Like it's really as simple. I mean, in theory, it's as simple as that. I don't know the coding or whatever, but everybody can have their cake and eat it too. If you just remove it, like if you can just say, oh, I want BR. It's just like BR starts, right? Oh, okay. Oh, I want BR instead of an AR for everybody to start the map up. Oh, and by the way, I don't want people to be able to sprint. Like with a zombie game type in Halo 4, right? There's ones where you move like you're in a dump truck, and then there's other ones you're in a freaking Corvette.
Like, well, basically what they just need to do, and they've already done this to a point, you know, with the armor abilities. You know, granted, this is a different system for the abilities part, but, you know, you could either have the abilities or not in Halo 4. Basically, what they would need to do is just put in a toggle there that either turns the abilities on or off. You know, you want Spartan abilities? Yes. You want Spartan abilities? No.
Or like a trait zone.
No, I don't. I've seen a lot of things pop up with toggle between sprint, armor abilities, and these different things, but I mean, do we honestly need a toggle 40 sync? I mean, you're not going to sit there and – a lot of people are saying that that's the solution, the answer for both sides. I mean, the competitive crowd's kind of against that too. I mean, they're not – they're just against sprint in general. But it's – I honestly feel that we don't need a toggle. I think if they adjust a couple more things, if they get the right feedback enough from people to understand what it is that they need to do to make things – better as an experience, I think we're fine. I don't think we need a toggle for anything. I mean,
but that's like saying players shouldn't have choice. Like that's like saying here we think AR should be the starting weapon for every game type.
Yeah, but the thing is that you can't say that the like players have the entire franchise at like at best. Like you can't.
I'm not saying they do, but if I want no sprint, if I don't want my competitor to sprint in a game type I'm creating, then so be it. It's my creation that you're allowing me to have within the game you created.
Right. I mean, as Forge things goes on, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about custom games here.
I thought we were talking about this general multiplayer.
No, in matchmaking, the Spartan abilities are there. They're going to be there. As far as matchmaking.
Yeah, because that's the experience that 343 is defining as Halo. And you look at look at Battlefield, look at Call of Duty, look at Gear. You can't just turn off sprint. It's a core gameplay element. And sometimes, I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for this, but sometimes choice waters down and hurts an experience. It doesn't always give it the best options. I mean, we have a lot of different options when it comes to Halo, and look how cut up the Halo community is because of it. Go back to Halo 2. Everyone was in together. Everyone had clans. Everyone was talking with each other. Everyone was doing stuff together. And then we have this slow breakup in Halo 3 where we have forging communities, we have racing communities and all that stuff. And one side of it, yeah, all the customization is great. But when it comes to a core experience, which is multiplayer, you don't want an over diversification of possibilities that you can have in an experience. So that's one of those things where I think it needs to be tested on the grounds of whether or not Sprint should or should not be in Halo 5. And just with how the trend in the industry is going for first-person shooters, Sprint is likely going to be in Halo. I don't think it's going away. I think it's here to stay.
I'm fine with it being in there. I'm just thinking on the terms of there is a big vocal communities. It's not just the competitive community that doesn't like Sprint. There's a lot of people that don't want to have Sprint in their gameplay. And if, like, you think in Halo 3, in the competitive playlist, you moved at 110% speed rather than the standard speed of normal gameplay. Mm-hmm. It's a tweak. It's just a gameplay speed tweak. I really think a toggle is going to be the best way unless they completely remove it. Like, I don't like Sprint, but I think the way they are implementing it in Halo 5 is easily, like, light years away from what it was in Reach and 4, and it, like, in a positive way. If it's there, I'm still buying Halo 5. I'm still playing the heck out of it because I think the base gameplay, as it is right now, is too good to not play with or without Sprint. But the maps are designed around the Sprint. You can tell by how big and long Truth is and how long each hallway is. You're not going to be walking that entire way up to top Carbine or top Pink. There's no way you're going to walk that. And it's not as simple as just moving base player speed up. This isn't Unreal Tournament. This is Halo.
Yeah. I mean, what a possibility could be for 343 throwing in for custom games if people don't want Sprint or armor abilities in there is you have an armor ability set stat. Like, you can sit there and go into Forge mode and then have generate these specific, you know, maybe you do want Clamber because maybe you have, I don't know, say for instance, Pete the Duck makes another speed run map, but it has obstacles where you have to jump over it or something. But you could take out, you know, just the thruster or something, things like that. That way, the only thing you can do is a sprint and run, or it could be the reversal. I mean, I'm sure something along the lines will be put in to Halo 5, especially if there's a more vocal minority saying that we do want something to toggle with this. And I've seen a lot, and I've talked with a lot of people, especially the Forgers. They say the same thing, you know, especially like if you want, I'm trying to think of maybe Flood or something like that. Speeding it up is going to cause the games to end quicker, and they want maybe longer games. Like, I'm sure there's going to be something in there that's going to be able to change that. I don't think they wouldn't.
Well, the one thing I found with Sprint is, yes, a lot of people use it to run away, but, you know, and I do use it to run away, but I also use it to get into the fight faster. That's the one thing I've always disliked about, you know, Halo CE, Halo 2, Halo 3 is on the larger maps. It takes forever to get back into the fight unless you happen to spawn right next to a vehicle, you know, a ghost or a mongoose or something like that. You know, it takes, you know, it slows that game pace for me down so much that, you know, I feel like I spend more time walking across the map to get killed or to get a kill than I need to. And that's the one thing I do like about Sprint is that I, you know, yes, they build the maps to accommodate Sprint, so the maps are larger, but I still don't have that feeling that it's just, you know, I'm okay, well, that guy's way over there. I'll get to him here in about 10 minutes. You know, it's just, and that's the one thing I like about Sprint. It gets you back into the fight a lot faster than it does in the previous games. Some people like that, some people don't. You know, the debate on Sprint is going to go forever.
Absolutely.
You know, you know, I know that with the way the way the game industry is going, Sprint is going to be in Halo 5.
Yeah.
The the Spartan abilities are going to be in Halo 5. Now, they may be tweaked a little bit. So like I said, you know, the thruster pack, Sprint, and Clamber are the three that I use the most. I've pulled off one ground pound, which was totally ineffective. It's easy to dodge if you're paying attention. Slide, you know, until you get a shotgun, I really don't see any use for slide.
I don't either.
I don't see it that it's going to be that effective with a shotgun either, because when you're sliding, you put your weapon down.
Yeah. Slide, I think, is going to be for different game types, because I found myself in Breakout using slide a lot more. I've used it a lot more, and I've used less of sprinting. I don't use sprint just at all, it seems, within that, because in some cases you have the entire enemy team coming towards you, and you want to stay as slow as possible, that way you don't rush in and get killed. It's just, I think the different game types is going to vary for different people. I've yet to use ground pound. I haven't got one kill with it. I feel that it's still in there. I mean, shoulder charge, I use it a lot more. Especially now that I know how to use it a little bit better. But as we get different, Slayer, Oddball, the Capture Flag, different things like that, I think we're going to see these uses to be more effective in different game types.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Here's some.
Each one of them is going to have its own little niche, niche place where it works better or worse. You know, like you were saying on Breakout, you don't use sprint, but look at the maps. They're not that big.
Yeah.
They're very small maps. And, you don't have your shields to protect you. So, yeah, you're not going to want to rush into the fight. So, that's something that you take account when you're building a game type.
So thinking of other game types outside of normal Slayer, with this sprint, does Griffball work?
Actually, I think it does.
Yeah, it does.
Because you lower your weapon. I mean, you're going to have your shoulder charge, but you can't quickly come out of sprint and use your melee weapon right away, right?
Yeah, but we've seen this in Halo 4, didn't we?
Yeah.
When you were done sprinting, your weapon being ready to shoot?
Yeah,
there's a delay. There was quite a delay.
Delay or so.
Okay. Because I guess I didn't play much in Halo 4, so I was a little curious, because you kind of get this tunnel vision when you're sprinting for mm-hmm. that, when you get that full speed going. So with how you're going, if everybody's rushing mid, which obviously in high level Griffball, people aren't just running straight to the center, but I don't know. I was just wondering if the sprint even works with that.
Well, the deal with, we'll just focus on Griffball. The deal is, you just, when you're building the arena, you take sprint into account and you make that, you add that extra space to the arena.
Well,
I'm not worried about the space. I'm more worried about the quick action.
To control the pace of the game, you change the size of the arena. Because the arena in Halo 3 was a lot smaller than they used in Halo Reach and Halo 4.
Because of Sprint, yeah. But to kind of play off of, I think, what Haas is getting at, is with the weapon thing, with the Prophet's Bane, you can use the Prophet's Bane while you're sprinting. You're in mid-sprint, you pull the trigger, you hit somebody. You just make sure you can do that with the hammer, too, and there's not a problem.
Yeah, but you can't do it with the... Yes, I agree. But you can't do that with the regular sword.
They could tweak it. They could change it to where they could.
Well, they could, but...
I mean, if you have a sword, there'd be no reason to do a shoulder charge. It would make sense for them to make just the lunge, the melee. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have the thruster pack propel, but have it, instead of a soldier charge, be a stab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing about the shoulder charge is that it's pretty easily beaten. I mean, you melee at the right time, it's a one-hit kill.
Right. I mean, one thing that I noticed that actually Haas pointed out is that the lunge, when you zoom in, is also, further compared to the lunge that you use if you're not looking down sights at all. I didn't even know
Yeah, the Prophet's Bane, if you if you hit your zoom button or pull left trigger, depending on what your setup is, your lunge is longer. Once your reticle turns red.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I didn't even know that. I didn't even know you could zoom in with the sword. Like, I never even tried it. I just honestly thought it was just you run with it and you have the lunge and all that stuff. I didn't honestly think there would be a zoom for it.
Yeah, I've yet to use it at that kind of range. The Prophet's Bane, at least. You know, I haven't used it in a longer range than I would have used a regular sword because, you know, in my mind, I'm still thinking, oh, I got the energy sword.
I don't even zoom in on the weapons that I didn't zoom in previous games. AR, I've done it a couple times. SMG, a couple times. But I don't ever do it like, oh, yeah, I got longer range. I can zoom in and look at this guy coming out of the base because I can ADS this person. Like, especially on the sword, it just no thanks. Like, if it's not going to add accuracy or lose accuracy, I don't think it's needed on certain weapons.
You know, honestly, the Prophet's Bane is a good concept on the sword to give you kind of a little bit more powerful sword. But, you know, honestly, I like the original energy sword better.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing, I got a hold of the sword and I was playing with one of my friends and it was the first time I played on Eden and I was going in there. I didn't even know the energy sword was in there until I seen the cinematic in the very beginning. So the first thing I went for was the sword and I did better with the regular energy sword than I did with Prophet's Bane. Like, I got an overkill within seconds. And then with the Prophet's Bane, I could barely get one kill. I don't know if it's just the way the map's set up or how it is. But honestly, I'd rather have the regular energy sword than Prophet's Bane. Because for one, it's less bright. It doesn't shine up your screen.
Yeah, I saw that on Reddit the other day.
Yeah, see, that's the big – yeah, and I think that's the big drawback with the Prophet's Bane. It's so bright that you can't see what you're doing.
I mean, you could still see it, especially if you, like – my TV, the way I have it set up. I mean, I'm sure yours is a little bit different. Mine's kind of bright and the saturation on that thing is like really high. And that, I think that kind of throws it off even more, but another thing that I noticed that a lot of people come up with the same thing is just don't let them have it. But I've seen people with Prophet's Bane, especially two people on the same team having that. And I think that throws it off a little bit. And I think it just, I don't know. Prophet's Bane is a good concept, and I like the fact, you know, it has a little bit of meaning behind it, and it's a legendary weapon and stuff. But honestly, I just rather stick with the regular energy sword. Like, it's cool. Like, it's a cool concept, and I'm sure they'll do a couple things with it, especially half the people I've seen talk about it. But as of now, I just think the regular energy sword suits me fine. I think I would like it, honestly, better.
Interesting you say that, because for me, the Prophet's Bane seems really overpowered. And maybe that's balanced out from the map layout in truth, but the fact that you have increased base movement speed and that you can have a super long lunge with a sword, I think that just makes it overpowered. Like, I think it should be just the original energy sword, and that's it, personally.
Well, people said, I was talking with a couple of people last night about the energy swords, because we were playing with them and we're comparing them between Prophet's Bane and the regular energy sword. And they said the Prophet's Bane felt like more of a Halo 2 sword. And they said they liked that with the longer. Yeah, they said they liked that with the longer lunge. They said it kind of brings back the feeling of Halo 2 with that sword. And you got to be a little bit more skilled. And they said the two balance that out. You could easily sprint away from or thrust away from it. And they said that's a perfect balance. They said it's not overpowered in any way. And then I have the complete opposite of saying that it has too much of a lunge and then you can still go after somebody that's thrusting away and still kill them. So, like, it's interesting to see where people's ideas are for it. Personally, in my opinion, I think it kind of is balanced out in the way of, if you do see it, because I've thrusted out of the way of it and my teammate kills him or I kill him. You know what I mean? Especially if his shields are weak from sprinting and you can sit there and one shot in the head and he's done. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel it's too overpowered. There are certain instances where I've seen it to where it does feel like that. But 90% of the time I felt like it was fine.
Yeah, my favorite energy sword actually is the Halo 2 one. I haven't really got that feeling with the Prophet's Bane, but granted, I haven't spent a whole lot of time with it. As far as, you know, the comment you made where, you know, there's two of them on the map, that's just a simple tweak of the spawn time.
Yeah.
You know, just fixing increase it, yeah. The, yeah, just increase the length between the spawn times. So that, you know, you're not, you give that the first sword more time to be depleted before a new one pops up.
Yeah.
I think the system for the spawning should be changed to where you have that base time where that power weapon respawns, but if it's still out on the map, then there needs to be a cooldown in effect.
Yeah. Another thing that I felt within these maps, especially with Truth, is that we only had one power weapon on that map. And with Eden, we only had the sniper. Well, we had this sword and sniper on the opposite ends of the map. But on Empire, we only had sniper. I felt, where are the shotguns? Or something other than just the sniper and energy sword. I feel that we should see something like maybe a shotgun or something like that. Because I feel on like Eden, I mean, I've gotten a couple sniper rifle shots, but I feel I've been in more close quarter combat in that map than I have longer combat. I mean, granted, if you go outside, you're going to have, you know, one person on the other side of the map and you can sit there and get the sniper in, you know, that's great. But I feel we should see something a little bit different than just sniper.
How many weapons did they originally say they were going to have in the beta?
11?
11, yeah, if I remember correctly.
I believe it was 11. So we
got sniper, AR.
BR, DMR, SMG.
Yeah, we had the
light rifle.
Hydra.
Hydra, energy sword. Hydra,
rocket launcher.
No, we don't have the rocket launcher.
We didn't get a rocket launcher.
Well, not yet. Would we possibly be getting it next week?
Probably
depends
not.
On which map gets picked.
What were the two options again for that? It was rocket launcher and what else?
The Hydra.
Hydra.
It was Hydra and rocket? Okay.
I don't like
that. The game footage they showed in the videos, the rocket launcher was in one of those videos.
Yep.
Right, but yeah. We had
so
the
it's
option.
On one of those maps.
Well, yeah, because they gave
maybe
us the option.
One of the Forge maps.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, we still might not get it, though.
Hasn't like somebody I said, that's why I said it depends on which one they pick. Concept art or something.
What?
I think they showed the Covenant Plasma Rifle in something. I don't remember when. I just know it's been in a concept art or a game snapshot somewhere. So maybe that's the 11th.
What do you guys think about the Hydra? Like, in your honest,
I don't like it at all.
It
reminds me of the plasma cannon from Reach. I think that's what it was called.
You mean the grenade launcher?
The plasma grenade launcher. Yeah, it reminds me of that.
The blueberries.
Yeah, the blueberries. It's faster, obviously. I like it. But it doesn't stick with me. I get killed trying to use it more than it's one of those guns that it's like a suicide grunt. You're like you're gonna shoot it if you see two people there. Chances are you're probably not getting a double kill. Chances are you'll probably get one, maybe, and you'll get picked off by the other guy. Like that's been my experience with it. It either needs to be stronger, or maybe I just suck at using it.
I think with the targeting on it, it doesn't need to be that much stronger.
Well, especially what the little thing I found out is that if you lock on to somebody, and this, you got to be a pretty decent player to use this exactly how I'm going to say it. But one thing I found out is if you lock onto a player and you shoot it directly up towards the sky, it'll go bounce away from all the barriers and stuff that the guy's like hiding behind or something, and will immediately come back down and target him and kill him instantly. Like I've seen that. I've been seeing that more and more every time I go on to.
In other words, arc the shot.
Yeah, it's one of those guns that if you're good with it, you're going to decimate everybody in your path. But I haven't seen too many people know how to use it just right, because they're like, when you're shooting it without being zoomed in, I think that's what a lot of people get put off of. It's just the fact that you zoom in, it just has that lock-on thing, and I don't like that. They just want to have a rocket launcher or a grenade launcher that shoots directly at somebody. It's off-putting. It's one of those guns that you're really going to have to get used to. Personally, I can go without it. Like, I can deal with that. I mean, I've gotten to several games where I like it, and then I've gotten to several games where I was like, yeah, I'd rather have a rocket launcher instead. Like, I'd rather have that. It's just, It's an interesting concept, though.
I really like it. I mean, you know, when I first, the first few times I picked it up, I thought this thing is just crap. But, you know, like I said earlier, I just didn't understand. I just didn't understand how to properly use it. And once I figured out, you know, the mechanics on, you know, what I need to do when I'm carrying this weapon and, you know, what I need to see on my screen to make sure this thing gets a kill, then I got a lot better with it and I enjoy using it. Now, if it doesn't show up in the final game, it's not going to break my heart, but I have fun using the gun. It does take some skill, like Bio said, to use it effectively. And, you know, usually I'll get two or three kills on it before, you know, somebody kills me because they sneak up behind me, or, you know, there's two people in a room where I only thought there was one or something like that. But, you know, I enjoy using it.
I'd rather have the rocket launcher that locks on to people than have the Hydra. Yeah. One, the rocket travels faster, and two, bigger explosions.
Big bada boom.
Big bada boom.
Because with the Hydra, you get 18 rockets on pickup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. 18
and
rockets.
And a lot of those just get spammed. Like, people don't like have an idea. They see one individual, they shoot all the way around them, but they don't ever hit them.
Well, I found that when you're using it, that you'll usually waste at least one to two rockets killing an opponent.
Well, it takes two to kill an opponent.
No, you can one shot.
No. Like, apparently it's supposed to be first shot is shields out, second shot's kill, from what I've been told.
Okay. But basically when I fire it, I'll lock on and I'll send three rockets out, because I know at least one of them's going to miss.
Hmm.
And then if you're firing it unzoomed, you can unload the entire clip and you won't kill somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you just happen to nail them.
It's a lot slower.
No accuracy with it.
Well, it's not even that. It's also slower than the rocket launcher. That.
Yeah, it's more of a, you know, where the, I don't agree with the lock on the rocket launcher. Because with the blast radius of a rocket launcher, it doesn't need to lock on. All you got to do is hit the ground close to them and they're dead.
Yeah.
Vehicles, like air vehicles, okay. I could see a lock on feature like in Halo 4. But, you know, for infantry, no lock on. Because, you know, that would just make the rocket launcher way overpowered. The Hydra, with its smaller blast radius, the zoomed in lock on works pretty well. Yes, they do travel at a slower rate, but honestly, I've been getting more kills with the Hydra than I ever got with a rocket launcher.
Really?
You know, unless I was playing, you know, all rockets all the time, you know, arena type map. But, you know, on, you know, an average game, if I get the rocket launcher, if I get a kill with it before I'm killed, that's good for me. Where the Hydra, I can get, you know, a couple, three kills. You know, I played a game yesterday where I actually went on a spree with it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is going back to one of those things. If you know how to use it right, you're going to use it effectively. You're definitely going to have a better time than what a lot of people are using it right now. Personally, my opinion, I rather have the railgun. I feel the railgun is a better weapon. Like, it's that one single kill that a rocket launcher is, but you have to use it right. Like, you can't just sit there and, you know, aim at the ground or whatever and kill somebody. You actually have to hit them. So I feel that's a better weapon. Maybe even the sticky detonator as a grenade launcher type deal. Like, you know, it's like one single shot, but it sticks to somebody. Like, in Halo 4, the sticky detonator, I love it. Like, I really do. I really wish they'd bring that back in Halo 5. I mean, granted, a lot of people don't, but in my opinion, I think easily the railgun could take the Hydra's place, and I'd be fine with that.
I think the Hydra is something that they're playing around with and seeing how it can fit within the Halo universe. It's one of those new kind of weapons that they're trying to add to the game, because every weapon, or every game, really has introduced some new kind of weapon in there, so they're trying to find something new to put in, which I think is what they're doing with this. But for me, just give me my old two-barrel style rocket launcher back. I don't like how the new one looks. Looks too much like an RPG.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of heat talk about this on this discussion. I'm going to have to play around with it. You know, I don't like the look of it, but if it doesn't feel anything like a rocket launcher that we're used to, like in any Halo, I think I might say the same thing. It just, like I said, it just depends on how it's going to feel and how well you could use it. I mean, it's not that hard to sit there and point, shoot at the ground at somebody and then kill them, especially.
Except for when it's me.
But no, I mean, I don't like the style of this. I think they're going a little too modern with it, and I don't like stuff modern in a Halo game. Like, I just don't. It's futuristic, not advanced, like just warfare we used to know.
But I mean, all the Halo weapons are based off of some real world weapon, and I mean the Hydra. I mean, you look at what we have in the military; that kind of makes sense. So, from an implementation standpoint, having this in there, it makes sense. I'm not a particularly huge fan of it either, but then again, I haven't really played that much with it. And it may be something where it is a weapon that actually does become something that is very well balanced and fits in the sandbox very well. I mean, we're not the end-all be-all on what does or doesn't make the cut.
Yeah, no. I mean, if it's effective and it works right, then that's all that really matters. I mean, aesthetics are something that a lot of people look at, but it's not going to make or break the game. You know, you're just used to the old-fashioned way of things, and that's where you want to see it.
It's going to be a balance of how effective the Hydra can be against a cluster of people compared to, like, the classic rocket launcher. And just kind of thinking through it, it doesn't seem like the implementation of the Hydra right now is bad, but I would definitely like to see a few tweaks to it. Maybe change up the... And again, this would also have to be something that we compare to the rocket launcher when it comes out too, because depending on what that does, this might be a good counterbalance to the style of the rocket launcher that we get. But maybe speed up the Hydra missiles a little bit, mess around with the explosion size, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, right at this moment, the only thing I would really like to see changed on it is the target acquisition time. I think it needs to lock on just a little bit quicker. You know, for those situations where you are taking on multiple targets, because you know it will only lock on to one target at a time, but that lock on time, just in some cases, it seems a little long.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're carrying 18 rockets, I don't mind that it takes 2 to 3 rockets to kill somebody.
It just seems like a lot, though.
Yeah, but it kind of helps balance out the power of the weapon, too.
18 sounds like a lot for that. I would say maybe 12.
Well, I'm not saying we couldn't reduce the magazine size. I'm just saying that the fact that, you know, I think they're trying, you know, the reason they give you 18 is because the high miss rate of the weapon.
Well, and I guess to clarify that too, that's 18 spare. So you actually get a total of 24 to start off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with the amount that it comes with. I don't see it as a problem, especially the amount of people that are missing with it. But if they amp it up and it is stronger for some reason, or the target locks on faster and it is stronger, then you have a problem. You're going to have a big problem. But as of right now, I don't see it as they need to reduce the amount of ammunition that it has.
Well, if they, you know, give you a little bit quicker lock-on time and drop the magazine size, I think they would kind of offset each other. You know, the one thing that bugs me, and that this is just because I'm not that good with it, is a sniper rifle. You know,
I don't like the new sniper at all.
Well, I'm talking snipers in general across all the games. I've never been really good with a sniper. The Halo 5 one, I seem to be a little bit better with, but basically I'm talking about going against the sniper. You know, there's guys out there, and I give them props for being so good with a sniper. You know, they'll pick up a sniper, they get 8 bullets, they get 8 kills.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the one thing that I've always thought about the sniper is it needs to come with one spare clip, not 3, because these guys will go on rampages with a sniper rifle. But that's my personal opinion.
That's how it's always been for the sniper, though.
Right. And it's always bugged me. You know, it's always been something that's bothered me, even from CE.
Oh, CE had a lot of ammunition for that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you pick up a sniper rifle in CE, she got 20 rounds or 24 rounds. You know, you go a whole match. If, you know, if nobody kills you, you go a whole match on one sniper rifle. But, you know, it's one of those balancing points with Hydra. And that's basically what I was trying to say.
Got it.
You know, the kill time to ammunition, they're going to have to balance it.
Right. And that's going to be something that they'll be able to get from the feedback during this beta and just from all their statistics. So we'll see what happens to it. And I guess that kind of goes for all the weapons that we're going to see in the Halo 5 beta. Some will get tweaked, some will get nerfed, some will get buffed. And it depends on how a lot of this stuff levels out, really.
As of right now, what do you guys think about the BR?
I love it.
I like it.
I
don't like the horns.
They said they're fixing
the weapon itself. I love.
I like it. I like it a lot. It feels good. The only problem that I have with it that I've noticed in both game types is that if someone gets, I don't know if it's just the BR or how it works, but if you're two guys are teaming up on that one individual, the one guy that sits there and shoots him in the head, I don't know if it's what it is, but it never registers. Like, the other guy will get the kill. Like, you could sit there and headshot him, and I've done this, and I've looked at my footage that I've gotten from it, and it's the same deal. It never registers. Like, that final, like, that last headshot where they have no shields, where you can shoot them once and they're done, and it just never pops up. I don't know if it's because...
I haven't run into that at all.
I've ran into it a lot. Like, I've ran into it a lot. And the thing is, especially me...
You gotta get that hamster turbo, man.
Maybe you just need to upgrade to a gerbil.
Yeah, maybe. Or a guinea pig or something. But, I don't know. I as of now, I think the battle rifle's good. The light rifle, I feel, is a little too strong.
I think the light rifle is pretty well balanced with the strength and the slow rate of fire. Because I've been able to beat a light rifle, and I've also been able to beat a battle rifle purely by just out shooting my opponent. Where in Halo 4, that light rifle was regardless at a disadvantage to the BR or DMR, and even the carbine in some instances, maybe not as much, but I think the light rifle, they really hit a sweet spot with it. I really think they do, because it's not easy to hit. Honestly, the light rifle is what I've kind of imagined. If the DMR has to be in Halo, I think the DMR should be more similar to what the light rifle is now.
I really like this iteration of light rifle. I think they've done a very good job balancing it. I'm right on board.
I really
with
like
Hoss.
The scope.
Yeah, the zoom in scope. That's cool. That's what you would expect from the little holographic thing. That
it's so pretty.
It's cool. It is really cool.
It is very cool. But that, you know, when I imagine a scope on a Promethean weapon, that's what I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not this, you know, look through a scope thing. I look, you know, I want, you know, the weapon to like do some
disassemble,
form around my head. And, you know, I just love the way they pulled that off. I can't wait to see what they do with the other Promethean weapons that they put in, if they put in any other ones, which I'm sure they will, just to see what they do for, you know, the scopes. I love that. The one thing I have found about the light rifle is that it's a better medium to long range than the battle rifle.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I'm talking almost sniper rifle range.
Yeah.
That light rifle will stretch out there. I like the fact that it's, you know, when you're zoomed in, it's a three shot, because one, it's hard to get that third, to get three consecutive shots with it, but it just feels like it. I wish it felt like this in Halo 4. Yeah. I honestly do.
Well, it was meant to be a different kind of weapon in Halo 4. I think in Halo 5, it's supposed to be more kind of like a shotgun roll, where it is that second tier weapon. Whereas,
yeah, almost like a power weapon.
I guess more like tier 3. It's kind of in that middle range between the base, like DMR, AR, BR type thing, And then kind of between that and then this power weapons like the sniper rockets, you have the kind of intermediaries, which is the shotgun and the brute shot, the concussion rifle, all those kinds of weapons. So I think the light rifle in Halo 5 is meant to play more of that kind of role.
Yeah.
Which it's filling very well.
Yeah, I really like it. I've had some pretty nice kills with it too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, go
ahead, Bob.
I was going to say I've used it a lot. I've used it more as a sniper rifle, especially with that 3-shot to the head and you're dead type. I've used it more like that than I have like if I would like a DMR or BR. Like I use it more zoomed in than I ever used it like zoomed out. Like I feel it's more. I think
way more effective when you're zooming in with it.
Yeah,
I agree.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I agree.
But as of now, it's cool. I like the way it sounds and I like the way it looks when it like forms around your head when you zoom down it. I just feel I was shunned off by it in Halo 4, and I think that's the reason why I don't like it as much.
That's why I didn't pick it up at first. But then everybody kept telling me how, dude, you have to pick this thing up. It is amazing. And I'm like, come on, it's the light rifle, guys. That's like saying the Needler is the best weapon in the game.
Yeah, I mean, the Promethean weapons, I didn't, honestly, besides the scatter shot, I didn't like any of the Promethean weapons at all, especially the freaking bolt shot. No, that gun can stay out of Halo franchise. And
you had to love the incend can.
No. That was weird.
Oh, that's my
that one was that weird. Was,
I know it doesn't fit, but that was probably my favorite weapon to use in campaign.
As a custom game gun, I think the incineration cannon was good. But when someone can sit there and literally just get an ordinance with that thing and just completely annihilate everybody around, that gun can stab Halo franchise as well. Custom games, keep it in. Just regular multiplayer, please just keep it out. No one wants it. No one likes it, especially with the shotty in your pocket. No.
Yeah.
Well, I think it could move into multiplayer, but they'd have to tweak it a lot. Lower ammo capacity. For one, and they probably tone down how wide the spread is on it, so it's more confined. Because it's got a pretty big area of effect when you fire it.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder if we're getting new UNSC weapons. What we're gonna get for a Promethean weaponry, and I wonder what we're gonna be getting for Covenant, because we haven't seen any Covenant weapons either.
Nope.
Besides plasmas, which
we've saw the sword.
That's true. Yeah, this sword. Never mind. True. Take that back.
That's kind of its own category.
I mean, what can you do with the sword?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with the Covenant weaponry, the Promethean weaponry, and the rest of the UNSC arsenal. Yeah, I'm still open on the rocket launcher. I saw the little bit of footage in the maps that you're voting on, and I kind of like the old Duke. Dual tube rocket launcher.
It's just so iconic.
But I know.
Yeah.
One thing I have to say is, on the AR, I know the scope makes sense, but I really wish they'd take it away.
But, well, the thing about the scope for the AR is you get so much accuracy at mid range with that thing. It's almost overpowered.
Yeah, I know. It competes with the BR and the DMR.
It does at medium range, and that shouldn't happen. Yeah,
I can see keeping the scope there, but they need to make the spread wider or something on it.
When zoomed in, I think they need to have the bloom. When you're not zoomed in, I think they need to have that while you're zoomed in too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're not losing any movement speed when you're zoomed in, that bloom should still be there.
Like I said, I think if they, they do one of two things: either instigate the bloom when zoomed in, or just take the zoom away.
Or that. Well, the direction they're taking with it, though, is that everything is going to have zoom in some form or another.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, in the canon and everything, it makes sense. Don't get me wrong, but the zoomed in needs to be modified. That range needs to be shortened up, or the bullet spread needs to be wider or something.
I think it's the bullet spread, really, because if you look at how the smart scope works for the AR, it's basically making a digital scope off of the, on directly onto your head. You're not looking through a scope like you're doing with the VR or the DMR or the SMG. You're actually integrating with the targeting system on there, and then it's displaying it on your HUD. That's the actual smart link system that they're kind of changing up. And if you think about it, with the BR and the DMR in the past, it is ADS in a sense. It's just that whenever you zoomed in, the whole scope took up your screen, and it was basically projecting the scope onto your visor. But if you think about that from a reality perspective, you don't want that to actually be happening.
Yeah, not in a reality. I mean, I like the way they implemented the scope on the AR, you know, because that does give you the sense that it's just you're fine tuning your HUD display, you know, to you know, zoom in on a target. Where with the battle rifle and the DMR, it really feels like ADS. You know, it feels like you're picking the gun up to your, you know, to your face to aim down sights.
Right.
You know, if they did the same thing with the DMR and the BR on it, then a lot of people probably would lose that feeling of ADS. And that's, you know, that's where I get that feeling, is when I'm using the battle rifle, when I'm using the DMR. Do I not like it? No, I'm indifferent. It works very well. The, you know, the original scoping, you know, where you just, you know, zoomed in to where you had a little box with a dot in the middle. You know, that's classic Halo. I think the middle ground is to do something similar to what the AR does, where you still have a full field view. You know, of course, you drop your radar when you zoom in. But, you know, that same, if you had that same look to all the weapons, I think the association with ADS would go away.
I think people would still associate with this because of one of the things that people are really tying onto is you can see like the scope coming in to where you're actually looking down the sight lines. Whereas for other Halos, it's just like you're changing a view. So I think people would still compare it to ADS, but from a standpoint of functionally working in the game, I don't think that's different. Now, one thing I've noticed about the scoping, and maybe this is just me personally, but it seems like to get into scope takes significantly longer.
Way too long.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not just me, but it takes significantly longer than it has in the past Halo games. Like I hit the scope, and then it takes probably 0.2 seconds or so to enter in the scope, where in past Halo games, it seemed instantaneous.
Now, are you using a button push, or are you using trigger?
Button push.
Okay. That might be the difference, because I'm actually using a trigger pull, and I haven't really noticed it. I mean, it might take longer. I just hadn't noticed it.
I use bumper jumper, and I click on my right thumbstick.
Yeah, same here.
It just feels just so long.
Yeah, it does. And I'm using Halo 4, and I use right stick for my zoom in.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm using the green thumb layout, which is the closest to what I use in Master Chief Collection and Halo 4. There, don't get me wrong, there's still some significant differences, but you know, the X, Y, B, A buttons are the same. It plays with the bumpers, but the sticks and everything are the same, and that's why I use it. Which it's a left trigger pull to zoom in. So it's kind of a cross between green thumb, which I use, and everything else, and the fish stick.
Yeah.
That still trips me. But anyway, so
fish stick. Gosh.
So don't get me wrong, it's taking me some time to get used to it, and then I go back and play regular Halo and I'm all confused again.
Yeah. But
I just really haven't noticed that. I really haven't noticed the lag that you're talking about. Huh. The extra time it takes to zoom in.
Okay. Weird.
Of course, I tend to I watch my radar and I tend to zoom in a little early so that when he pops around a corner I can put my reticle on him right away.
Well, this is something where, like, I'm in the middle of a firefight, and I pop someone's shields, I'm turning around really quick, and I need to get that zoomed-in shot to assure it, and I click zoom in, and by the time I think I would be zoomed in pulling a shot off, I'm waiting to get zoomed in. At least that's just how it feels for this.
See, when I'm in the middle of a firefight, I don't even bother zooming in. I just use, you know, the regular, the unzoomed reticle, because, you know, all I got to do is, you know, land one shot and you're out of zoom already. And that just, you know, it throws my aim off to be popping in and out of zoom. And that's, you know, abruptly like that.
It's just those long sight lanes. Sometimes you get someone from across the map. It's like you're battling them from the hip because you've been popped out of zoom, but then you're like, go to reload, or he's running away and you want to get that last headshot off. And it just seems like that time to zoom just takes longer. And I lost a couple of kills because of what seems like to be longer time to actually start zooming. But maybe that's just me. I don't know. We've talked enough Halo 5. We've almost gone on for an hour and 40 minutes talking about it, which I wasn't exactly planning on doing for the podcast tonight, but since we're in the middle of Halo 5, kind of makes sense to talk about it. I do want to go through some of the submissions that we've had over the past couple of months, since we haven't gotten to those in a while, and read a few of these off to start wrapping up the show for tonight. And we'll go through some of the other Master Chief Collection update stuff and a little bit more on that once the Halo 5 beta is over, obviously. But still a bunch of stuff to be done there. I'm just going to read all these off for you guys. I'm not going to worry about putting them in the chat, but they will be up on the show post. So if you guys go over to the podcast whenever it gets posted, all these questions will be posted up there. So first one comes from GameDude03. And he writes, "Hey, PodTech, it's been a while." These are dating back to November for some of them. So if they seem a little old, that's why. He says, "Hey, PodTech, it's been a while. Even though I can't make it to the live streams, I still get my daily Halo fix from you on iTunes. You guys are the only ones I know who soulfully are set on Halo. Smart, funny, and you're good at it." Well, I'll leave that to Haas and Bio. It makes me excited.
The smart or the funny part?
I'll let you decide.
Definitely.
"It makes me excited to download and listen to the podcast whenever I'm stuck at home, sick, or on long car trips. Podtacular, you are there." Cue the Podtacular theme. So I've got a thought. With the Master Chief Collection and Halo 2 Anniversary coming in a couple of days, that kind of shows how dated this is. With the ability Xbone has, do you think the future when Halo 3 Anniversary comes up, instead of just making a Halo 3 Anniversary, what if they just port ODST and Reach as an add-on? Well, part of that question is already answered, I think. second part, what do you think? Is it a crazy thought, or do you think it won't happen? I'll post this on the forums to see what community thinks. Just wanted to know what you guys thought. So hope to see you guys on the Master Chief Collection, and keep on fragging Halo Fests. So we're already getting ODST for the Master Chief Collection, obviously. But I don't think they would actually do a Halo 3 Anniversary. I think Halo 2 is kind of that last one, because it's Halo 2 was done on the original Xbox, and the Xbox 360 is still around, and you can still do Halo 3 on matchmaking and whatnot, and there's Halo 3 in the Master Chief Collection. So I don't think we would honestly get a Halo 3 Anniversary.
I don't think there's a reason for it.
I don't think so either.
Now that everything's on one console, and then to top that off, even though people keep buying these remasters and HD remakes, I think it's getting old really fast. Especially, I think people are really sour to it because last year they just bought Grand Theft Auto 5. Guess what? You're buying it again.
Mm-hmm.
Saints Row is coming out later this month. It just seems like we're getting flooded with the same game we just played last year. Oh, sure, it's prettier. That's cool. But why do I want to keep spending $60 so much? And yeah, it's Halo. I can see Halo Reach happening. But Halo 3, they even said this before Master Chief Collection, it's kind of in this weird middle spot. Like, they could do it, but what are you really going to gain? And I think Halo 3 really stands out more than I think people realize on Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't see them having a reason to remake Halo 3. If anything, like Haas was saying earlier, I think people are getting really tired of remakes, especially being next-gen. We didn't get too many next releases. You know, like it's they're basically, especially from big titles. I mean, we have Halo 5 Guardians coming out this year, but in that 2014 period, we didn't really see too many big game titles out there other than remakes. You know, Rockstar had Grand Theft Auto 5 come back there. We had 343 bringing back all the Halos back in to the Xbox One. We have Resident Evil coming back to the Xbox One. You know, there's a lot of remakes. I could see Reach coming back just for storyline sake of them bringing it, maybe, you know, like they're doing with ODST. But as of multiplayer, I don't really need Reach again. Like, I just don't.
Well, I think the reason that you're seeing a lot, like what you were talking about, seeing GTA 5 and Saints Row coming to Xbox One, is because there isn't the backwards compatibility that the 360 had for the original Xbox games. So the only way to really play it on the current gen console, because some people have already sold their old consoles, or they're not going to really go back and forth between the consoles, and Microsoft is really trying to push their current console, is to do the remakes on the new console. Plain and simple. Yeah. And plus, it's easy money for the developer, because most of their development's already done. They're just changing some things from a graphic fidelity standpoint and remastering a game.
You know, with Reach, I wouldn't mind seeing a port to Xbox One and, you know, selling it for $20-$30. But, you know, as a full-on anniversary type remaster, I honestly don't see that as being something that would be widely popular.
No. And I think they need to really start zeroing in on these next major release that they have going, like the Halo 5, the Halo 6. And I don't know about you guys. I think we're going to get kind of one of those side story middle games as well. But I would rather see them focus moving forward on their future titles, not keep pulling from the past and just wasting dead time. Even if they split the studio into two, or they hire a staff specifically for that, it just,
I think
from the outside looking in,
yeah, I think they need to focus on what's the road ahead. Really, yep. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, if they do something like they did with Master Chief Collection, or they just do a straight across port, I would hope that they would give that to an outside company so that they can focus on the new Halo product. You know, like turn, you know, if they were going to do a port for Reach, turn it over to Certain Affinity and let them do the port, or, you know, something like that. You know, get those projects out of 343. Don't get me wrong, they need to manage them to make sure that it you know, it follows in line with what 343 wants as far as that type of, you know, the port or remake or something like that. But as far as doing it in-house, I really don't think they should do that. I think they should just, you know, farm that out to another company and focus on creating new Halo content.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I'm right there with you. So, next one comes from Pins Halo, which I don't think I saw him. Is he in the chat tonight? I don't think he is.
Yeah, he's there. He? Oh, yeah. He's the last person to post. He said, okay. Yum.
Oh, there he is. Okay, cool. Oh, no, he's riddled out through. Okay, I'm sorry, Pins. I just oblivious to the chat, I guess, tonight. He writes, "Hey, guys, first off, I want to say what a great job the Pawtacular team has done keeping up with the Halo News forums and game nights. I appreciate the labor you do. Just to show how much Halo is always on my mind while on vacation with my wife at Universal Studios in Florida, a thought came to me. What if there was a Halo-themed attraction someplace? I don't know if there would be enough for its own standalone park, but maybe something like Harry Potter's Diagon Alley. Just curious as to your thoughts. Great job, and keep on fragging Halo."
Sounds like a lot of fun.
I don't think Halo's big enough quite for a theme. For a theme park?
No, not a theme
park. Yeah, I think, not for a theme park, but maybe an add-on like Diagon Alley, like he was talking about. Because when me and my friend, we went to, for my grad bash for my last year in high school, they took us to Universal for the seniors. Like, that was our class trip. And me and my friend were just back and forth. You know, this would be after going to the Harry Potter place. We're like, if somewhere along the lines there was a like an add-on to like Universal or something for Halo, it would make millions. Like it would do extremely, extremely well. Not necessarily a giant park as Universal, but maybe have, I don't, there's so many things they could do, honestly. They really could. Like, they could make, I don't know. Like, there was even talk of like a virtual reality laser tag thing, like you being on Halo or something. It was a long conversation, but I could see something doing like that. Like, I would extremely, extremely enjoy something.
Halo, okay. Oreo kind of touched on this in the chat, but for this to happen, I think there has to be a full-fledged movie release for Halo, just to even get the potential. Like, we all love Halo, so we're going to be a little biased on this. But in the big world picture, Halo is not big enough yet. Mm. And if they got a movie, so the casual Joe and Jane, when they walk into Universal Studios or, you know, wherever, when they're walking through, they'll be like, oh my gosh, Halo, I love this game. Let's go on the Halo roller coaster and do the ring. I don't know. But like, just have a little corner set aside. That's what I think it's going to really ever get big enough. Theme park wise, well, sadly, no. But
yeah, I don't think Halo would ever get big enough to be able to support its own theme park. But an attraction, it would be really cool. And, you know, granted, we were talking theoretically here. You know, I would love, if it was something that's theoretically possible, I'd love to see it. Because it would be neat to see a lot of this stuff in the Halo universe come to life.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. to see hunters in full life size, elites, jackals. You know, I don't know how you do a grunt, but it could be interesting. But, you know, to see Master Chief walking down the street.
So it'd be more like an experience or an exhibit type thing.
Yeah. You know, it's like I said, I don't think Halo would ever be big enough where it could actually be a whole, you know, theme park like Universal or Disneyland or anything like that. But it could, I think it could get enough following that it could be an attraction at, you know, Universal or something like that. You know, where, you know, you got Diagon Alley for Harry Potter. It's one small part of the park. You know, it's part of the entire ecosystem, which, you know, I think it could do that, but it would be neat to see. I would love to see somebody do that.
It just makes me wonder if there ever was something to come of, like, say, for instance, they do a movie or something, where would that attraction come to? Maybe, you know, because Disney's buying a lot of stuff like that, but since they bought it, Universal still has all the Marvel stuff. So it makes me wonder if Universal would actually think about doing something like that.
Under Microsoft? I don't know.
Get me a movie first.
Microsoft.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they did do a movie or something.
Well, and I'm going to kind of touch on this a little bit while we're on the topic, but if you guys remember the Halo Bulletin 6, or Episode 6, that was the episode that Kevin Hurd, one of our good friends from Halo Collector, was on. And one of his goals is one day to have kind of this Halo museum of all these Halo collectibles. So in a sense, that's kind of along these lines of something that we could see in the future. But in terms of like an attraction, Halo is not mainstream in the mainstream media, if that makes any sense. It's still kind of cornered in this video game sphere. And 343 is trying to dive into the big multimedia style things with Halo. But, I mean, look how well Nightfall did.
Born Unto Dawn did, though.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
But there's something between that's very different between a 5-episode webisode series and a full-fledged Hollywood movie. I'm not saying it's impossible to do with Halo, but for 343 to pull something like that off, that is quite a feat, which I don't think they're quite there yet.
It'd be interesting to see, though.
Yeah, and we still have the TV show to see from Spielberg coming out this year. But with how much Nightfall kind of flopped behind a producer that's supposed to be like one of the well-known ones, like Ridley Scott, that future for Halo right now is not quite there yet.
Yeah, It's Spielberg, though. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's with Nightfall, I think the script had more to do with
probably
what happened than the director. Yeah. I mean, he did what he could. You know, you can only do so much with what you're given.
True. That is true.
Yeah. You know.
But even at that point, though, for the people writing the story within 343, that is just, there was a lot of stuff that they dropped the ball on, I think. And just, it lacked a unique experience when it comes to what a series like that could be with Halo.
Yeah, they need to get Eric Nyland for the next one.
That would be really cool.
I would love that. Yeah.
I'm still hoping somewhere along the lines Nathan Fillion pops up in the Spielberg TV show. That's all I'm going to say. Really hope he does somewhere. Like, let it be a voice or a side actor or something.
That would be cool. Interesting to see. All right. Next one comes from Receptor 17, our fellow Welshman. He writes, yes. He writes, "Evening, good people of Podtacular. I thought I'd share a surprise find of mine which developed into a fun personal minigame whilst playing Halo 2's Metropolis level on the campaign, with the Sputnik skull and Boom skulls active, driving the Scorpion tank over the bridge. It would appear that Sputnik's making everything super light combined with massive boom explosions have led to my ghost literally flying everywhere when hit by a tank round, leading to a major hang time and Covenant clay pigeoning shooting. It's definitely provided a lot of fun with waiting for updates to come and make the MCC game we know it will be. Here's a video," and he has that up on his Xbox account. And that, did he upload to YouTube at some point? I think he might have. He said, "Thanks and keep on rocking, folks."
I saw that video. That was awesome.
That was kind of funny.
After I saw that, I had to go try it. It's so much fun.
Ghost clay pigeon shooting.
I wish you could make that into a, you know, a multiplayer minigame.
You probably could. Well, you couldn't do the boom skull, well, but you could change trait zones probably to make it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You can't change explosions.
I meant to have like an artificial intelligence to run the ghosts.
Oh, you'll pull and you you run pull into your connect mic and it pulls out or throws out a ghost. That'd be funny.
Yeah, there you go.
Pull.
You could forge something.
I'm sure you could with all the switches and timers in there. You probably could do something like that. But yeah, if you haven't checked it out, it's also on the forums. He made a post over there on it in the Halo Master Chief Collection forum. So go check it out over there as well. It's a pretty funny video. Next submission that we have is from Crimson Viper. He says, "So the old Podtacular is come and gone, but a long time ago I plotted a picture, a homage to the IRC channel for Podtacular. A bunch of people still go on it," which I find that interesting. "But I figured this is the best way to show whomever these people are, those people that still keep in touch with PodTech. If it's good, maybe up on HBO." So there's a couple of pictures that he's thrown up on DeviantArt, and I'll throw them up in the forums afterwards as well. But just kind of showing some of the people that used to be on the PodTechler IRCs way back in the day. And there's, for those who don't know, for Podtacular, we used to have an IRC chat way back in the day that was hosted on HBO's IRC, and then they shut that down. And it's basically just like a group room chat. So I'll post these pictures up on the forums at some point, pretty close after the show. But for anyone who's been here for a long time around Podtacular, these will probably bring back some really fond memories. So Twist87 is on there. K-Paul is on there. Renegade's on there. Negative, which I don't exactly remember who that is. Quality Jeverage, I know pretty well. Logan Payne, Painkiller, Killazilla, Wolf1989. So if there are any Podtacular veterans out there, ooh, Stooch is on one of them too. You will know those names very, very well. Oreo in here should actually know quite a few of those names. So, but I'll post those up on the forums. Brings back some really old memories. Really does. Last one for the night comes from Zach Hartman. I guess he didn't put his gamer tag in here. He says, "I made a video yesterday, and I think that might be of Podtacular's liking. anticipate in Wacky Wednesday, and that's how I was brought to the site. Or he would participate in Wacky Wednesday, and that's how he was brought to the site. So good job, Godzilla. Here's a link. Not quite sure what.
Yay!
I guess I should have read through this last one first and put the video up on the stream, but I'll post it in the show notes. There's a link to the video, and I'll post it in the chat room here as well. But that's for the submissions that we have. And if you guys are there is a G Lewis and another one, Oreo, just so you know. But if you guys are wanting to submit stuff in, it's pretty easy. You can send an email to submissions@podtackler.com, or you can call our listener voicemail, which we haven't gotten the voicemail in a very long time. But it still works. It's 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. And you can leave a message there. I know with all the MCC issues, there might not be much to talk about there. But for Halo 5, we'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear the cool stories that you guys have from the beta experience. And even if you have something from the Master Chief Collection that you want to share too, definitely do that. I mean, you heard Receptor's funny story of figuring out how to do clay pigeons on Halo 2. So if you have something fun or interesting in Halo, definitely drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. And you can also just go to the forums as well. We'd love to pick some stuff up from there. You can just head on over. Signing up is free, of course. And we're a little small because we've been rebuilding off of our old forums. We kind of ditched those going to a new host, and we've been slowly rebuilding. So head on over there, participate in the chat, come say hello, and we'd love to get you guys involved with our game nights and other activities that we'll be hosting, including a rather big one which will be coming up soon. I think we'll be talking about that either next week or the week after, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys. So, again, that's submissions@podtacular.com, or you can call our voicemail at 240-200-4256. So, I can't even remember when the last time we actually did submissions was. I don't even know if you were...
I think Oreo will be on it.
I don't even know if you were a co-host at the time, Bio.
No, the last time you did submissions was with Brett, I think, in 2013.
No, we definitely did some in 2014. We definitely had a few.
That's the last time I remember. That's the last time I remember is in 2013. Like, I just
the last submissions I remember are the contest.
Yeah, that was 2014, wasn't it?
No, that was 2013.
No, we definitely had some submissions because I distinctly remember one of the early 400s being a submissions show, and it was in this year. Mm. And I have submissions dating back, like, scattered throughout April, May, June, and I'm pretty sure I've read through some of those. But anyways, it is what it is, but we'd love to hear from you, like I said, for the third time.
Keep them coming. Yeah.
So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight, I think. We rambled on a lot about Halo 5, but we'll be here to talk about Halo 5, I'm sure, in a couple of weeks after the beta is all said and done. Remember, week 3 starts tomorrow, and we'll get the choice of either Pegasus or Orion for the Forge map that we'll be able to play on. And we know for sure that Truth and Empire are coming back. I'm hoping Breakout stays. I don't see a reason why they would take away Breakout. So I'm assuming that's going to stay in the game as well. As far as some of the other stuff that's going on with Halo 5, the beta will end on the 19th of January, which is a Monday. Is that right?
Which would be a very sad day.
Yeah. Mm. Hopefully they have the Master Chief Collection a little bit better fixed by then. One can hope. Speaking of the Master Chief Collection, there is the update that will be coming out next week, most likely. We will keep you guys updated as we get more information about that. But for those who are a little bit on the competitive side, the UGC 20K was this past weekend. And it was, aside from the constant delay of streams because of games crashing all over the place, it was the first platinum level tournament in the Halo Championship Series, which is at least $20,000 prize pool. And Denial Esports was the team that won that tournament, so congratulations to them.
That was crazy.
There were some interesting upsets for that weekend. I was a little surprised at some of the ones that got knocked out. So it's a really interesting time for Halo competitive multiplayer with all the bugs that are going on with the Master Chief Collection and all the new teams. And that was one cool thing to see. And I know I'm not huge on the competitive scene, but it was nice to see some smaller local teams come out to this and try to participate. That was actually really cool to see.
Yeah. I think we'll be seeing a lot more of that if they continue to support HCS, which it sounds and seems like they're making every stride to do so. But I think we could see the rise of competitive Halo once again.
I certainly hope so. But a lot of it's going to depend on them getting the Master Chief patched up the way it needs to be, and then Halo 5 having to come out headstrong. Like, they got their Strike 1 on Halo 4. They've got their Strike 2 on the Master Chief Collection, kind of, for lack of better words. And Halo 5, it's got to be the home run, or else it's going to waver for the franchise.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully, I mean, we're all hopeful here that they'll get the game in the working order that it needs to be. There were a few things that I wanted to bring up as discussion points tonight, but because of how long we talked about Halo 5, we're probably going to talk about that on next week's show. And we're still trying to get Certain Affinity on at some point to talk about the development behind the Halo 2 Anniversary maps. And then with Relic coming out, we'll actually hopefully get to talk to them about that while they're developing that. That would actually be cool if we could get them on here pretty soon to talk about that as well. But given that they are working on Relic, we might not be able to get them on depending on how busy their schedules are. So that might be delayed even more. But we are looking for, kind of switching to Halo 5 topic, we are looking to get some people on for a roundtable discussion to talk about the Halo 5 beta in full. That will most likely be a pretty long episode as we go through maps, weapons, abilities, all that kind of stuff. So there'll probably be a little bit of a rehash from stuff that we talked about tonight, but we're going to have a few more subject matter experts to talk about the more finer details of the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta. So hope you guys can check that out. And that will hopefully be at the same time on Thursday. We may have to switch that because of schedules, but just make sure you check up on the website and check up on our Twitter to make sure that you have the latest info on how the podcast develop. If you guys want to get involved with this, you can always check out our game nights. Those are hosted by the one and only Godzilla Todd right here. And those are on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Tuesday for Tactical Tuesday and Wednesday for Wacky Wednesday. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been doing Tactical Tuesday on Halo 5 because of the beta. And from what I have understood, those have turned out pretty well. Right, Godzilla?
Yeah, it's actually been working real well. I never heard how many you wound up with this week, Dust, but I've been able to pick up a full lobby real quick and had a lot of fun. One thing I'd like to say is if you guys have a custom game, mini game, map, whatever, for Master Chief Collection, get a hold of me because I'm always looking for new material. I know it's tough to find stuff right now with the way things are set up, but if you make something and it's, you know, a game type you want to get a bunch of people in to try out, bring it on in. We'll load it up, and we'll be happy to give you our feedback on it as well. So, like I said, I'm always looking for new customs for Wacky Wednesday, so don't be shy about messaging me either on Twitter or on Xbox Live. You can catch me at Twitter at Godzilla Todd, or on Xbox Live, my gamer tag is Godzilla Space T. So just shoot me a message if you've got one.
And I believe we also have a forum thread they can post there too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
there is also a forum thread. You could post it there as
well. Any one of those three places you can hit them up. That would be perfect. And finally got Team Bubble Bath done, or at least some part of it done. Some resemblance of it done. So make sure you check those out. Again, those are going to be on Tuesday and Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you guys are listening to us downloaded after the fact, we do our shows live on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. and you can come and join the chat. And our first podcast of the year, we actually pulled a decent crowd. So thank you to everyone who joined up in the chat room. We hope to see you guys here for the future podcast leading into the new year. And make sure you go tell your friends that we're doing this on Thursday nights if they don't have anything better to do, or if they want something to fill their ear holes for an hour and a half or so, then just point them on over to our Twitch channel, and we would love to give them the Halo lowdown on stuff. We also have our social networks that you can check us out on. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff. We're looking to do some more programming on our YouTube channel to kind of build that up. So if you would go over and subscribe to that, we would appreciate it. That's youtube.com/podtacktv, or as we do for everything, if you just do podtack.com/whatever, if we have it, it'll take you there. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube all work as separate links there. And finally, a little order of business from a financial standpoint. We do have our own Amazon affiliate link. So if you do any video game shopping through Amazon or buy any accessories, any of that kind of stuff, or anything really, you can buy anything through Amazon. If you go through our affiliate link, we get a small cut of that back to help support the hosting bills and support for swag when we go to conventions and that kind of stuff. And there's also a PayPal donate if you want to do it that way as well. You can find both of those on our homepage whenever you go to podtackler.com. And that'll wrap it up for us tonight. I think we're going to try to go play some Halo 5 beta since this is the last day of week 2. So get some of that Slayer action on Eden and Regret. That'd be pretty cool. And we will hopefully see you guys here next week. Don't know what the agenda is going to be for next week. We'll obviously make an announcement on Twitter when we have a little more solid schedule of what's going down. But nonetheless, we will be here Thursday, 8:30 on Twitch. So until next time, everybody, keep on fragging 2015.